This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
This is the last time that you and I get to do this year, my friends. I am going to leave you in the capable hands of others for the rest of the year. And I could think of no better person to spend my last program with than Natalie O'Brien, who is the CEO of the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival. We're going to be talking all things food and wine. Stay with me. We're here until 2 o'clock. Well, our buzzword for today might be cravings, but it might also be the river and the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival. We could throw a little bit of marriage stuff in here as well, because it is, in fact, my last program for 2015. Where am I going? Ahead of myself already. Next week, we're doing an outside broadcast, a Christmas broadcast coming to you live from Ackland Court. So stay tuned for that. The following Saturday, Joe Pryor will be talking all things Christmas with a bit of Adam De Silva and some gingerbread and that sort of thing, because Adam De Silva is very Christmas. And on Boxing Day, Mark Adams will be no doubt out with his knitting needles and a very good poncho, click-clacking, click-heating all the way through the program on the 26th on Boxing Day. I'll be back for a New Year program. So it's the last time you and I get to sit and have a discussion. And as I said in that promo, there's no greater person that I could think of to have that discussion with than the CEO of the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival, Natalie O'Brien. I can't believe it's another year on.
Absolutely. And we've really got two festivals, a festival of weddings and a Melbourne Food and Wine Festival. Exciting times.
Exciting times indeed. We are going to talk, of course, about Melbourne Food and Wine. A little later in the program, Hilary McNevin is here with Lance Rosen. He is Big Boy Barbecue, and we are going to learn a little bit about Southern food. And there's, in fact, three Big Boy Barbecue restaurants here. We've seen over the last few years a lot of chefs coming from both of the Carolinas and that sort of central east coast, southern part of the US, as part of the festival as well. So you've been on trend for a couple of years.
We like to think that we work really, really closely with chefs here in Melbourne who are doing great things here and overseas. And you're right, we've had some great barbecue chefs and representation from the south. But this year, we're going all over the world. We've got Danes, we've got the Gustardi brothers coming out from Italy. We've got Jocelyn Meyer Adams from South Africa. And I think South African wines are really hot and interesting at the moment.
Hot right now, yeah.
So we'll get the chance. Jocelyn cooks very much from local produce, etc. So we'll get the chance to put the food with the wine here in Melbourne. So we are sort of spinning right round the world, and we've sort of got representation from all corners.
I was having a chat last week and the week before. So last week I spoke to Magnus Nielsen and the guys from Big A Ice Cream who were here, and they're coming back for the festival, which is super exciting. Are we allowed to say that?
Absolutely. They are on their way back, and they'll have more delicious treats. And they're on the way back because next year we're going to be celebrating dairy. And we think in Victoria everyone's either related to a dairy farmer or certainly has some connections to the dairy industry.
Or maybe in our community has slept with one.
Quite possibly. As I said, many, many connections with the dairy industry. So the Big Gay Ice Cream Boys will be back in March, but they'll be joined by the Cowgirls. And
the Cowgirls.
And they're out of California. And so they'll make their way here along with a lot of the great cheesemakers from across Australia.
And nobody is more delighted than me about cheese.
Oh, you know what? I think, Pete, when you ask people what are their favourite things, dairy really fits. When you talk
dairy, bacon,
chocolate,
potatoes,
yogurt,
wine.
It's amazing. So dairy is a really exciting territory. Yes. And so we're looking forward to, we're actually going to build our version of an urban dairy at Queensbridge Square.
So in past years, we've seen a bakery and we've seen the beautiful coffee farm that we're only, I was only talking about at work a couple of days ago, that coffee farm still firmly etched in my mind.
Absolutely. So we of course had the bakery earlier this year and conversations were happening.
Did I say
with
last
team.
Year?
Last year.
I'm totally ahead of myself. Don't worry.
We are still in 2015, but after having some wonderful celebrations, we had a floating restaurant one year, is that we're really looking forward to having a menu that's based on dairy products. And as you say, cheese. Who doesn't love extraordinary cheese?
Our wedding cake next week is cheese. It's cheese. Wheels of beautiful Gippsland cheese.
Look, it's the only way to go. So we're going to have cheese, local cheese, and also imported cheeses for everyone. And also for the opportunity for people to do classes if they feel like, or otherwise just come down and enjoy the cheese. And, of course, what goes beautifully with that is wine. So we're going to have a number of wineries coming down to Brie, are you saying?
Bread.
Oh, bread. There'll be bread as
you're
well.
You're going through all of my favourite. These are a few of my favourite things. And the focus, not just for 2016, but I think over the next little while, is our river.
Absolutely. We are going to plant ourselves on, beside, and across the Yarra River. And we know that the Arts Centre has its precinct, the Sports Centre has its home and place. We want to, on the first weekend of the festival, from Fed Square right the way down to North Wharf, which is one of the newest places along the river, is coming alive with everything: food, wine, coffee, ice cream, and brie and bread.
And we're on the river. And it's interesting, there's sort of been this ongoing thing over many years. Are you north of the river or south of the river? Those of us over in the west seem not to matter. But that whole north-south river divide, I think this using the river as the central part of the festival is a wonderful way to sort of celebrate that thing that not only divides us but brings us together.
Absolutely, and I think it's really underutilized. So we're looking forward to having boats, and there are wine tasting on boats. And in fact, the only way that you can get to the wine classes at the Wine Glass House is via boat. And so we really want to make the river come alive and, as you say, bring people together around this river space. And we hope to, over the next 5 years, create a real destination where people can come together in Victoria during March, which is such stunning weather, to celebrate food and wine.
We have so much to talk about and I have so many questions, so we'll get along with it just in a moment. We're a couple of messages. You're on Cravings here on Joy 94.9. Natalie O'Brien from the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival is my guest. We seem to do this every year at about the same time, so it's a fitting way to finish my year here on Cravings on Joy 94.9, where it's 13 minutes past one.
Joy 94.9 has a huge range of programs available for podcast. In fact, Joy is one of the largest podcasting communities on community radio. If you haven't checked out our podcasting service, you're missing out. Visit joy.org.au, click on the podcast tab, and you'll find a list of Joy programs regularly sharing the best interviews, news, and reviews. There's tens of thousands of hours for you to enjoy, so check it out now. joy.org.au.
We are getting terribly carried away with the discussion about what's happening with the Food and Wine Festival that I forgot to turn on our microphones. Natalie O'Brien, the CEO of the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival, is here. She is my guest. We are talking about the 24th Melbourne Food and Wine Festival, which is happening, and it's around the corner. You must all be on your sort of looking at it going, we have X amount of days, counting sleeps.
Absolutely. Well, we're on sales, so certainly people have picked and chosen some of the gorgeous events as part of the festival, but it is countdown now. And this is the time we get really super excited because we start to book the visiting winemakers and chefs as they prepare themselves to come and visit us here in Melbourne.
So there's some big changes this year, and one important to me in particular is Masterclass. So we've gone from the Langham now to Deakin Edge.
Absolutely. So all of our chefs will continue to stay at the gorgeous Langham, but we have moved location and will in fact be at Fed Square. And so I think one of the things that's really important is we wanted to make these international chefs more accessible. Mm. So there will be the opportunity for people to buy a single session for $29 and get the chance to see the Gustardi brothers that we spoke about from Italy, or Jocelyn from South Africa, or in fact any of the winemakers that are coming out from Oregon and Bordeaux, will be a chance for people to buy our smaller sessions. Mm.
And tickets for Masterclass from $29.
That's right, yeah.
Which makes them so much more accessible than having to buy a full day or a 2 day pass.
Absolutely. And Pete, I think it's just as much about time that people that have got as it is, you know, money as well.
Yeah. And it was, you know, it's always been a big commitment to go for the 2 full days. And I think in the last couple of years, we've brought it down to a day or a half day session. And I think now this is going to be a great chance for people to just sort of look and...
Absolutely. And just get that small little capture. Mm. And of course, then when they walk out from the classes, the river should be alive with all sorts of activities, mm. including entertainment and of course the full working dairy. And we're hoping to also have real cows in the city, because of course you can't have a dairy without showing how a cow gets milked.
Exactly. We might even have a chance to milk a cow.
I think you could. I could arrange that.
Now, I've done that before. I did it as a kid. The festival always starts with the world's longest lunch. And traditionally, there's been the one that sort of kicks off the festival in Melbourne, and then the regional weekend that closes the festival sees those other world's longest lunches. Not this next year.
No, we've decided to bring all of the lunches back together. So we'll have 7,000 or 8,000 people on the very one day celebrating in Melbourne on the Grand Prix.
I was going to say, we're at Albert Park, which is going to be great fun.
Which is really, really exciting ahead of course, the Formula One Grand Prix for next year. And then, of course, from the high country down along the coast out to Gippsland on the Swing Bridge, there'll be some stunning locations. And, you know, Pete, I kind of think I've got to be in Melbourne, and Melbourne's got to be amazing.
But then you want to be out at Coldstream with Shannon Bennett and Tig Ezard, or you want to be in Ballarat at Jackson, on their balcony at Jackson & Co.
I mean, absolutely.
How do you choose?
Well, it really is. One of the things that we're hoping to do is that we can bring this alive a little bit through social media and exploring a screen, so that we can at least cheers and toast people all across the state as they enjoy the lunch.
That should be wonderful.
So, yeah, and I think what's so lovely about it is each of the longest lunches has its own personality. So whether you're up in the high country and you're having some of the beautiful wines from the northeast,
and some of the provenance, some of the food from up there is just extraordinary. And there are great chefs and doing great things. And I think one of your former right hand people, Sarah Kwan, who's been up there at Northeast Tourism, who's now moving to a very interesting role, has had a lot to do with the sort of rebirth of that space.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think, you know, from that region where it's really, there are some incredible chefs and local talent, and it really is the chance to celebrate in each of the regions. So, yes, on the very first day of the festival, there'll be lunches. There's about 23 across the state in Victoria.
Mm. It's almost, we could almost touch the next lunch where we're going to be that close, aren't we?
We absolutely are. And there's certain people who actually choose a different one each year and make it their thing to compare one lunch to the other.
Which is difficult. And because each year chefs change. So last year, Shane D'Elia, Adriano Zumbo. The year before, I think, was Maggie and Stephanie.
Correct.
2016.
We have Guy Grossi. And I think Guy, you know, there's a really lovely match with a Grand Prix circuit and Guy Grossi. And so...
Oh, Italians and cars and fine wine.
Absolutely. It totally fits. And Guy has created a 3-course menu that will be truly delicious. So there's still tickets left if anyone would like to come to the Melbourne one. But in fact, you've got the choice of 23.
4th of March. So if you want to open your diary to the 4th of March and see where you might be, and you might actually be in Daylesford for work, or you might be in Gippsland or wherever it might be, it's a Friday lunch. So it's always a good way to take the day off, have lunch, be in a region, explore a region over the weekend. And
absolutely. And people, you know, the idea of staying the night and heading to a farmer's market and a gorgeous cafe for a cooked breakfast in regional Victoria the next day.
Superb.
Followed by a little bit of a wine tasting in one of the wineries.
You know, wherever we go, we find wineries.
Absolutely.
In the strangest of places. And then the City Cellar, which is going over the weekend of the 4th to the 6th. This is something new that we're doing as well.
Absolutely. What we wanted to do is bring some of the smaller wineries from regional Victoria to town. So there are 21 wine regions across Victoria. It's a little bit of a tongue twister getting that one out. And what we wanted to do is have a little bit of a representation from each of those regions so that people understand the diversity and the variety of wine that we have here in Victoria. So from Mornington Peninsula with their fabulous Pinots to the Yarra Valley with Chardonnay, to the north east with their fortifieds, we'll have samples.
And then you go out to central Victoria and find beautiful Shiraz coming out of the Grampians and Heathcote.
Absolutely. And so we want people to literally walk around the stands and taste from central Victoria to the northeast to Mornington Peninsula.
West Gippsland, so within 60 minutes of here and heading out towards Gippsland, there's a little region out there that's doing incredible things. Further out in Gippsland, places like Leongatha, there's a wine region.
Absolutely. And so it's really bringing to life that there are 21 wine regions based on their different conditions and terroir. We want to bring them to town, to the banks of the river, in a really informal setting so people can just sit back on the banks of the river and enjoy. And then, Pete, we've invited about half a dozen regional wineries that have food to bring the food to town so that we're really recreating what you would have in regional Victoria.
Off the top of your head, can you remember who they are?
Goodness me, I think people like Innocent Bystander,
Yarra Valley,
and maybe I'll come back to you with the rest of them, Pete, because I've forgotten them. But
you know, what we might do is in our next little break that we have, we might have a quick little get Dr.
Just
Google
so that we
onto
can it. Get yeah. that. Absolutely, absolutely.
And then, again, everything's sort of happening along the river. So there's the Glasshouse. Now, I'm quite excited about the Glasshouse.
We think it's a perfect name to hold all of our wine events. The brand new building, which is alongside the river near the Lexus Centre, and that's where we're going to hold a whole lot of wine classes. So some of them are really gorgeous and intimate, little boardroom sessions with people like Jeremy Oliver and Max Allen, the chance to have just 15 or 16 people in a room with these incredible Australian wine authorities talking and drinking about food and wine. So that's a new component to the wine room.
Yep.
I mentioned earlier we've got the Pinot makers making their way from across the Pacific from Oregon. And, of course, that's going to be interesting because, of course, as Victorians we love our Pinot and the chance to...
And we are quite parochial about our Pinot.
Exactly. So,
and, again, sort of going back to those regions, if you go down to the Ballarine in Geelong, they're producing really interesting Pinot down there, which is different to the Pinot you're going to get in the Yarra Valley or the Mornington Peninsula. Or, indeed, there's some Pinots being produced elsewhere that are equally as good and equally as challenging.
And you're right, the diversity in Pinot. And so to have the Oregon winemakers here, that'll be the chance to sort of enjoy our Victorian
and
but also
Oregon's
compare.
Oregon's a really good comparison for a number of reasons. So it's sort of that state that's inland from California. So it's got a – and it runs north-south as well. So it's got a variety of sort of sub-regions as we have. It's a great choice.
Absolutely, and also a great food culture as well. So as well as our winemakers from Oregon, we're also welcoming about a dozen winemakers from Bordeaux. So it's wonderful to have a wine session with Bordeaux tastings. And then, of course, perfect match, Pete, one of the sessions that we love most.
And Matt Skinner
will be part of that. The whole idea of matching food and wine is really, in fact, foodies would sort of say, how can you have wine without food and one without the other? And so...
Oh, it's easy.
Those classes, the chance to have food and wine together, and they'll all be housed in the Glasshouse.
And where is the Glasshouse going to be?
So the Glasshouse, if we're talking about the river, is heading east along the river. And so really the best way to get there is via boat.
So if we go east of sort of Federation Square, down past the Rowing Club, sort of Birrarung Ma.
Absolutely. So it's just beyond all the sporting precinct of Olympic Park and Tennis Centre. So you can, of course, park there as well, but it's a beautiful brand new building that's only been recently opened, and we think the perfect spot to sit back, enjoy the wine.
You could almost take a Melbourne gondola down there.
Absolutely, absolutely. So whether you drive, walk, or do the river transfer, the Glass House is where you can do these gorgeous intimate settings, or the chance to do sort of really the high-end wine classing, or just food and wine matching.
Or you just wander along the river and help yourself.
That's right.
Because there'll be all of that as well. The tickets are on sale already, and we'll come back and talk a bit more about them. But you've also got some gift cards. So if people are sort of out running around today furiously going, what the hell am I going to get for that person that has everything for Christmas? Buy them a gift card.
Absolutely. And we were saying that one of the things that we really try and do at the festival is create a memorable experience. And I think each of the events that the industry have created themselves are beautiful experiences. So, yeah, we've got the opportunity for people to choose a gift card and give one of these experiences to their loved ones.
I think it's a very fine idea, and I can certainly be telling people to put them on the list for my Christmas gifts. It's 27 minutes past one. You're here on Cravings on Joy 94.9. Natalie O'Brien with me. Very shortly you're going to meet Lance Rosen and Hilary McNevin, who are talking about Lance's Big Boy Barbecue book, which is a reflection of the number of restaurants he's got in and around Melbourne as well. It's almost half past one.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
Bonjour, I am Gabriel Gatte. You are listening to Cravings with Peter Dillon on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station Joy 94.9.
You are on Joy 94.9. It is 29 minutes to 2, and I'm very soon to kick Natalie out of the studio because I've got to put some other guests in. But before we do that, we are talking, of course, the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival, and it is, well, it's Joy's 22nd year, so we're only 2 years younger than the festival, our radio station.
You are. Mm. You're catching up very quickly.
Well, you're always going to be ahead of us. Now, the other thing that's jumped into here that is a bit of a celebration of Latin things, and I believe this man is about to open a restaurant early next year, very close to your office at the Pran Market.
I did hear about this. Mm, and
Chef Paul Wilson.
Absolutely. So this is for aficionados of Latino, and this sounds like just a really fun event. Paul and Lady Caroline and the bar team will teach you how to make daiquiris and all of the incredible...
Lovely. Latin cocktails.
Absolutely. So could you imagine a night of cocktails?
Yes.
And
Pisco sours.
Perfect weather for it. And so Paul and Beck, I understand, are to open a new restaurant next year. So I think this event will be a lot of fun and an example of the other 200 and more events that the industry have put together that I think is a really, really exciting program. And I know I say it every year, but this year's program, I think, is super, super exciting.
Well, the program is one of the – every year it changes, and I think it gets more interesting. And, you know, there's really – we rarely revisit anything that's been done before in the festival. There's things that are done in a similar way or with something as an inspiration, but we – and I keep saying we. I'm such a part of this festival. I feel like I'm such a part of the festival.
You absolutely are.
Sort of your unofficial ambassador, but we – we don't see the same. We might for 2017 because we're celebrating 25 Melbourne Food and Wine Festivals.
That's right. The 25th, we're already starting to pull some of the ideas together. And in fact, we've had loads of previous visiting chefs and winemakers who have put their name down for the 25th. But you're right. I think, you know, sometimes industry will say, I'm having a year off because I can't think of anything super, super different.
Mm.
And we love that because then they come back on board next year. And so...
And it also allows other newer or smaller or other businesses to then say, well, hang on, this really suits what we do, so we can be a part of it this year.
Absolutely. Mm. So we see old favourites and of course, industry people we've worked with for many years, and, of course, to have newcomers coming in is just fantastic. So 2016 is ready and waiting, and I think is a terrific program.
And as we say, tickets on sale, mfwf.com.au. Go to the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival site. All of the information is on there. What is not on there are the six regional restaurants that are going to be coming to to Melbourne, but we'll keep that as a bit of a secret for us until
Absolutely. And Pete, we will put that on, populate that online. And of course, there are other few little things that we're working on.
Yes, because the program's always evolving until we get to festival time.
That's right. And we've got a couple of internationals that are tapping us on the shoulder to be here. So look out, because all of those updates and those little secret added extra bits will be added onto the website.
And people can sign up to a newsletter as well.
Absolutely. On the front page, subscribe a newsletter, jump on, it's free, and it
find
gives
out
you the
everything that's going on.
Everything that's going on. That's
Natalie, it is such a joy to have you in the studio for my last program. We've got a message. Some guy said, have a great ceremony and trip to Bali and see you in the new year.
Oh, gorgeous. Oh, we love our guy.
It is the last one for me this year. Very shortly, Hilary McNevin and Lance Rosen will be here to talk about Lance's new book, which is another book that Hilary's been she's offering editorial guidelines for him. She's an editorial guide rather than a ghostwriter or an editor on this one. So
fantastic.
It's a great book, and I'm looking forward to talking to Lance and Hilary. Natalie, good to see you. Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
And we'll see you on the flip
side. Lots of love for your special occasions.
Terrific.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
It's time to talk to Hilary McNevin and Lance Rosen, who Lance has a book called The Big Gay Barbecue Book. I hope you enjoy this.
And you're listening to Cravings with Pete Dillon on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
And thank you, Adam De Silva. He pops in almost every week to do that for us, as I'm sure you are aware. It's Cravings here on Joy 94.9. While we're talking about the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival, it's sort of nice to broaden our horizons a little and take ourselves on a bit of a journey, which you can do right here in Melbourne. Southern American food has undergone some mad resurgence in this town for some time, and I am delighted to welcome to the studio Lance Rosen. He is, of course, Big Boy Barbecue's head honcho. Really difficult sentence to get out. Welcome.
Thank you very much. I am the big boy in Big Boy Barbecue.
I'm surprised it's taken this long for us to get you in the studio, because you've been running these businesses for ages.
I normally just travel head down and focus on what we're doing day by day.
Well, you're also doing a load of fact-finding missions, which I'm calling tax dodgers to the United States.
As you would, if you could.
Indeed. Also in the studio with me is somebody who's I don't want to say ghost-written, but has been the editorial advisor to Lance on his book, Temple of Barbecue. Hilary McNevin, how are you going?
Pete Dillon, I am really well. Thank you for having me.
So is that a fair enough, not a ghostwriter, but an editorial advisor?
If I may say yes, not a ghostwriter at all, because this was written by Lance and his lovely wife, an awesome wife, Yvette. And what I did basically, and in the back you'll see I'm editor.
Yes.
The extraordinary Nola James copy editor. Basically what I did was get the story, put it in order, talk to them about concepts and structure, so the broader view. But then Lance and I both said hooray for Nola after that, because we were the big picture. Nola
and
had
then
to come
to
in
Nola James.
And she pulled it apart. So I had the honour of, I guess, editing the book.
Well,
but Lance and Yvette were the authors.
You seem to be editing a few books of late. You've got quite yourself a reputation as a book editor.
I'll have to be in control.
I'll have to give you my
book
to edit.
We loved each other, really.
No, absolutely.
But we both liked, we worked on this very well. I'd love to work on your book.
I'll have to give you my book when it's written. Because it is, of course, going to be based on the interviews I've done on this program.
We're looking forward to that. Mm. I'll be interviewing you about that book soon enough.
Oh, maybe. Who knows? Let's talk about Big Boy Barbecue, though, because this book is sort of a culmination of years of the venues. Let's go back to the crazy conversation you had at 3 o'clock in the morning with your wife when you told her you were going to close a very successful fine dining restaurant and open a casual dining American style barbecue.
She told me to go back to sleep and, you know, get over it pretty much. But, as these conversations do happen at 3 o'clock in the morning, but I had that feeling in my heart that that's the way to go, and that's what we did, you know.
I did mention that barbecue and Southern American food has gone a bit berserk over the last couple of years. We're all mad for smoked brisket and pulled pork and ribs and all of that. Where has this fascination come from? Because when you first decided to do that, there was very little for you about it. You couldn't buy a smoker.
No, absolutely not. Look, I don't know. I just fell in love with it. And I think a lot of it had to do with the strength of the dollar at the time.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more people were traveling to the US. You know, it was almost at a parity, so it was cheaper to travel there. And people were discovering the style of food.
Mm. And this is where I want to bring you in, Hill, because I think during this process, you probably learned this as well. The difference between smokehouse barbecue food in Kansas City compared to, say, Texas or Louisiana or elsewhere, there's quite a bit of diversity. And your travels have seen you in places like Alabama and Tennessee and Kansas and Missouri and sort of all over, so Midwest, South.
Yes.
What are the differences in those almost regional cuisines? It's probably like Italy Hill
Well, this is what actually shocked me, if I may say. And when I first met Lance, I can be quite enthusiastic about projects if I believe in them. And I was doing a happy dance almost when we met because I just couldn't believe it. But also I was intrigued by the regionality because I was like, really? And I realised that's the beauty of the subject we work with,
absolutely,
that you never stop learning about it. And it does have that quality of Italian regionality, French, you know, but this is in one country and you go to these different parts, like you wouldn't.
Spain, Mexico,
Spain,
China,
any of those.
Japan.
And I think that's one of the highlights and the strengths of the book, that Lance and his family took the time to go to the regions.
Mm.
Absolutely. Look, I think, even in Italy, you travel city to city, town to town, and it changes. It's the same in the US. I mean, if you think about Texas is beef country.
Yep.
They have beef, and that's what they cook. You know, and they keep their seasonings quite simple, salt and pepper.
Mm-hmm.
As you travel through to the different pork regions, like the Carolinas, they're cooking whole hog, shoulders. And then in the Carolinas itself, you know, east to west, north to south, it changes from a little bit of vinegar and pepper, chili peppers, salt, to ketchups being added and everything else. And one person will tell you theirs is the only way, and can create a great argument.
I've actually probably in the last couple of years met maybe three or four exponents from various parts, both of the Carolinas and further south and Louisiana. So it's been an education for me already over the last couple of years just to learn about the differences in food. But again, I want to sort of, if you go to the Carolinas, if we could say you go to South Carolina, sure, the northern part of South Carolina and the southern part of South Carolina, again, are extraordinarily different.
Absolutely. And I mean, in one region, there's the PD regions, which is bringing in whole hog as well. So in South Carolina, you are seeing some of those North Carolina whole hog influences, you know, and then you do have those areas where they do have the mustard barbecue sauces as well.
Mm. Hill, you know that I'm a stickler for things that are only very good for me.
Yes.
I don't eat bad things, and I'm, of course, trim, taut, and terrific. The health aspect of this food is also incredibly important.
I think, well, it is. And what I like about good food is that it just is naturally healthy. I'm not talking about deep fried, all that kind of stuff, but if you looked at the essence of the meats that are being cooked and how they're being cooked, it's just a really beautiful treatment of a great protein, an animal protein, vegetarians. But and so in that sense, and with the flavours, it can only be good for you. And then perhaps coming in with the sides and the sauces and things like that, would you say, Lance, that the fat content or salt may increase? But I don't think this food is bad for you.
I think everything in moderation. I mean, you don't want to just be eating pork crackling.
No.
You know, the meats are
yes, I do.
Well, I do as well. I mean,
yeah. Well, I'd like to, as well.
Yes.
We're all in agreement there.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, so you're cooking low and slow. You're rendering fats.
Yes.
So you have a beautiful product that is scented and seasoned with smoke.
Yes.
Kissed with fire. And then if you're not eating deep fried stuff on the side, which, I mean, is nice once in a while.
Of course it is.
But, you know, because, you know, who doesn't like deep fried? Yeah. And, you know, anything deep fried could be good for you, even kale. And
exactly, because it's green.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
And I don't eat kale, just so you know. I don't do fad food.
I could deep fry for you and you'd love it.
No.
Yeah. Lance, a question to tell the listeners also. Do you, Lance, then in your shops give people an example of little bits and pieces of different parts of America, or do you like to focus on one region?
No, we're pretty multi-regional in that we have a variety of sauces that we offer. We do a Carolina-style pork because that's the style of pork that I like, which is dressed with the vinegar and some chili peppers and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, the brisket in Texas is the style that I like, salt and pepper, a little bit of fat on there sometimes as well. But, you know, my preference is for Kansas City ribs.
Yes.
And so on and so on. So we're trying to take a little bit of the best of everything. We're not saying we're a Kansas City only style barbecue joint, but we are heavily influenced by Kansas City.
Yep.
People may think that there is a lot of simplicity with this food.
Yes.
And I'm going to challenge that because unless you've got the rub right, you've got the right amount of either chili or the smokiness from paprika or the various spices you use. Unless that's right, the whole thing is going to go a little pear-shaped, isn't it? Isn't it going to be lacking some balance?
I think it's very hard to find balance, and simple is probably one of the hardest things to get right. Mm.
It's easy to be difficult. It's much more difficult to be simple.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
I was going to use another line there, but I won't. I want to talk about the structure of the book itself. What I like is you've identified the regions, and then you take a journey through each region. Yes. You take us on the road with you almost.
Yes.
And the beautiful photography that was done here by Dean Cambray. He's a sensational photographer. But all of these images that you've snapped all the way through the book that are your own, it tells a beautiful tale. And I think the book is it's almost like a travel journal.
Yes.
For the dedicated foodie.
That was something I think we approached, wasn't it, Lance, at the beginning? We said it's a travel book and a food cookbook. Mm. It's
quite confusing. And I think when we first started talking about the concept, a lot of people weren't quite getting it, because I had this idea that you'd come on the journey with me.
Mm.
And so in a sense, the writing is quite colloquial. We talk about the places and the people that we've met along the way. And I think that to really get a feel for the regions is understanding what we saw and the pictures of the road trip as well as the pictures of the food.
Mm.
And some places, yeah, and to get across that, firstly we did a glossary. I think when you said there was a lot of colloquial language, which was great, but we needed to give it a context, I think, that I loved. And there's stories where there was no such thing as plates or forks or knives at particular outlets, was there?
No, it's for you eat with your hands.
Yeah, well, you know, you get it on a paper towel.
Have you travelled in this part of the States?
No, I haven't.
Do you really want to now that you've been a part of this book?
Yeah. Desperately. Since I started reading it, actually, to be honest with you, because I was looking at it from such a broader perspective, it was about, does this make me want to go there? And I thought that, in a way, it was a good thing that I hadn't been there, because I could go, does that make sense? And is this right? And is this how that happened?
Because I've actually done quite a bit of travelling in these various parts of the United States.
Do you think it portrays it?
Absolutely.
Honestly?
And reading the book, because it's sitting on my desk, and I sort of every now and then go through a couple of pages and sort of take myself on a bit of a journey. And there's a place around the corner from me in Maribyrnong that does call themselves a smokehouse.
Yep.
And they do this style of food. I've had to go around there twice while reading your book.
Fantastic.
Because I'm having this little craving to have some smoked brisket or to have, you know, something that's been in a smoker for 18 hours. So it's really quite evocative. And having travelled in those various parts, particularly in that south east corner of the United States, there is just so much diversity, and this book takes me there.
Well, thank you very much. I think, look, it's an interesting point that you make, and I believe that barbecue in Australia and Melbourne itself isn't about excluding other barbecue places. You know, for me, it's about the growth of barbecue Australia-wide and growing it in competition, growing it in restaurants, and, you know, if we're all ships in the bay and the tide rises, we all rise together, we don't have to shoot down the guy next to us to be the only ship left. So it's about the rising tide of barbecue. And that was something that was explained to me very early on in my barbecue travels, about barbecue family and about the barbecue journey. And for me, it's very much been a journey, and about the family, about the people that I've met along the way, all helping each other to grow barbecue within Australia as it's been grown in the US. I can't grow it on my own. I don't expect to be on my own. I'd really like other people with us. And I think that we can all contribute together.
There's a TV show that's, I think, currently on the telly that is about barbecue. I don't think it's being done particularly well.
Is that the Australian?
Yeah, with the guy from the American guy from that was in My Kitchen Rules, and Jess Pryles, who's now we know Burger Mary, who's currently living in the States.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it's done very well at all. But I think what it's doing is bringing some of these ideas and concepts and thought processes and tastes and flavors to a broader audience, which sort of talks to your point about growing barbecue everywhere. Mm. How difficult was it when you first decided to do this to find what you needed equipment-wise?
Impossible. And part of the what we couldn't find was wood, Australian woods or wood suppliers that could give us a constant supply of one type of wood.
Because you use hickory, you use maple, you use apple.
Yeah, well, anything fruit woods, fruits with sweet saps, that kind of stuff. You don't want anything that's too acrid. Like a lot of the Australian hardwoods are going to give you too much of a bitter, acrid flavour.
Mm.
And for me, the smoke element element is a seasoning, not the main component.
Yes, so it's part of the dance rather than the solo.
Absolutely. I mean, you want to be able to taste the meat. You don't want to be burping smoke 2 hours later.
No, but there's a couple of recipes in here that I don't know how I'm going to do them at home, so I'm going to have to get you to do them for me.
Okay, absolutely.
That's it.
I love biscuit, which we would call scones.
Yes.
I love biscuits. I think they're everywhere you travel in the US, you're going to get a version of the biscuit, which is great. These brisket burnt ends, I had to steal your book, Hilary, because mine remains on my desk. Yep. Just even looking at this, I want to eat it now.
Yes.
Yep.
I've just eaten a sandwich, but I want to eat these burnt ends. So is this the sort of stuff that you're doing at Big Boy?
Absolutely. We have the burnt ends. At the moment, we're running the burnt ends as a special with the Z-Man sandwich, so with the fried onions and the...
It is on this afternoon. Yeah, good.
You think about when you do a family roast at home, you know, and I'm lucky because I'm the one who has to carve the meat. I'm always carving off those little burnt crusty bits.
So am I. And I actually eat those before anybody else sees it.
I'm not sharing them. Why would you want to share
them? Cook's reward, my mother used to call them.
Yeah. Cook's treats.
So on the back of a roast chicken, when you do one properly, there's a couple of oysters that sit sort of in the middle of the back of the roast chicken. And whenever I put a roast chicken on the table, those oysters are never in there because they are the sweetest, tastiest piece of the chicken.
We always tend to fight over the next. But you were talking about biscuits before, and I have a bit of a fascination with biscuits. My go-to biscuit combination is sausage gravy, white sausage gravy, which is biscuits, sausage gravy, and fried chicken, if you can add that one in.
We're going to take a little bit of a break because I just need to go mop up. I'll be back in a second with more of Lazarus and Hilary McNevin. You're here on Cravings on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
I have finished mopping up after that brief interlude. We were talking about biscuits and white sausage gravy, which for anybody that doesn't know, let's try and give them an Australian version of that.
An Australian version?
There is none, is there?
There isn't. I was talking to some guys in Tennessee a few weeks ago, and he said he came out here and he made white sausage gravy and biscuits and nobody liked it. I figured he just wasn't making it for the right people,
he's an idiot.
Really.
He's making it
and
wrong.
He didn't have to share then, so that was okay.
Wow. I could sit down. Hilary, this afternoon we need to go and have some biscuits and white sausage gravies and burnt ends because I...
And then we need to lie down for a long time.
We do need to lie down.
And just feel good. It feels good. It is food that... Yes, it's filling, but in that beautiful, wholesome, delicious...
It's soul food. It really is. And we love soul food. I mean, barbecue for me is a style of soul food in itself.
And it's the perfect style of soul food. Lance, it's been a pleasure to meet you. Thank you. I wish you every success with the book. It came out in September. It's available, of course, at all good bookstores.
On Lance's website.
On the website, which is?
templesofbarbecue.com.au.
Beautiful. Thank you for joining me. Hilary, always good to see you. I won't see you now until next year. So,
I will see you at my wedding. I'll see you at your wedding.
Yeah.
But Merry Christmas and thanks for having me on through the year.
A pleasure. And no doubt you'll be joining us again next year.
I look forward to it.
This is Cravings here on Joy 94.9. It's been a wonderful afternoon and we'll continue just shortly. You're with me, Pete Dillon, on your favourite gay and lesbian radio station.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
It's been a very big year. It is my last program for 2015. I will be back on the flip side in 2016. Next week, an outside broadcast coming to you, our Christmas broadcast, coming to you live from Ackland Court in St Kilda. The following week, Joe, who you're about to hear on the Escape Pod, who with Russ and Mark is going to demystify the role of the concierge. Joe will be presenting the show to you on the 19th of a lovely Christmas theme show. Mark will then present the program on the 26th, also from the Escape Pod. So from me, thank you for your support this year. It's been a wonderful year. I always enjoy your company and I look forward to being back in 2016 where we can do all of this again. Until then, this has been Cravings on Joy 94.9, not just for today, but in fact for 2015. I'll see you next year. Over to the lovely people who are on the Escape Pod to demystify the concierge.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.